I am unashamed. What about you?
Welcome back to Unashamed. We're still not in our normal environs. We're in the duck call room, Jace. Does that make you nervous to not be in?
You know, what's crazy is today I realize this will be aired a few days from now, but today is the day that everyone's excited because, and I am too, we have an eclipse happening.
That's right. Today's the day of the
literally
eclipse.
At this moment.
That's right. While we're inside, it's getting dark out.
So for the first time in our 875 episodes of Unashamed, we had the lights literally go out.
Ironically, on the day when the sun is going to be covered. So
in the moment that if you could have aired the tape, which you couldn't because once the lights went out, even though we kept talking in the dark, which I thought was kind of funny.
We never stopped.
We kept talking and it was pitch black dark. I was in the process of saying in a story about Godwin that the lights had gone out. And the lights went out as I said that.
You spoke it.
Which was really crazy for the first time in our history of the podcast. All the lights went out, Jeff.
And we brought Jeff in. Jeff, thank you. Welcome back to
when
the
I
show.
Think of eclipses, I always think of Apocalypto. Remember when that eclipse happened?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, saved his
That's
life.
That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Me too.
That's definitely a top 10.
This is so weird and bizarre world because Missy and I was, we were somewhere with a couple, and I'm trying to think who the couple was. I can't remember. But I brought up that movie, and I said, you haven't seen that movie? You must watch that movie. And Missy said, don't listen to him. She said, I fell asleep during that movie.
What? Fell asleep?
It was like the most exciting movie ever.
It was
ever.
The most adrenaline. Said,
did you see that movie,
no,
Dad?
No, Dad, you saw it with, it was Mom and Dad. Mac and Mary Owen and Lisa and I, we drove to Ruston. They had just opened up the theater in Ruston. We drove down there, and we saw Apocalypto together at the movie theater.
Well, and here's what I missed, though.
Not a single word of English in the movie.
Right.
And there's no cuss words or whatever, and there's no sex scenes.
Nope.
But it's rated R for violence, and that's what Missy said, no.
Oh,
she's like I don't want to see blood splattering on the cameras. And it is a very violent movie.
But you know what's funny is, I just thought about this. You know, movies like come around all the time. You watch them rerun on stuff. But I never see that movie rerun. Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
Yeah. Have you? Okay.
You're making Missy's point. She said, there's a reason that you're not seeing that anymore.
I'm telling you, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Awesome.
It's about the Mayans.
Yep.
And it tells their story. Of course, Mel Gibson is the one who directed it. But it was fascinating. And for a movie with subtitles, other than I guess The Passion of the Christ, it was so intense from start to finish. I mean, I couldn't have slept. When that was over, I was like exhausted. I felt like I'd.
So this caveat, I think it's a guy movie. So, take that for what it's worth. Because Missy, she didn't like that movie.
Well, it's kind of a love story. Mary's like his wife was pregnant.
I tried to make that argument, and she said, I never made it that far.
Well, she should have. It was a good ending.
So Jeff makes a good point, because Lisa and I were talking about the eclipse this morning before I left the house, and she was asking me about it, and because the Bible even talks about sometimes celestial, you know, things that happen will have an earmark for what's happening. You know, they'll mark things by that. And the whole thing with the Mayans, that was a big deal. So they took it as a sign, which a lot of ancients did, that this was something going on. And so I guess, Chase, if we brought that to the future, then the sign today was something about the lights going out, you know, in your story.
Maybe
your sermon was just lights out.
Well, Missy had the news on today, so I heard about, she's like, oh, the eclipse. I mean, and look, they had people stationed all over the corridor where this is going to happen, people with goggles. And I mean, I thought, man, they're getting stirred up about this.
Yesterday afternoon, Alex, my youngest daughter, loaded up my three grandkids and drove 6 hours west to be in the prime watching position.
Here we go.
To watch it.
Well, I heard.
Where is that?
It's like in Granbury, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, just south of
Dallas. In that area. But what I found fascinating is one of the commentators said, I mean, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We're going to have to wait 300 years before we see it the next time. And I thought, they need a cricket button. Just think about what you just said. We're going to have to wait another 300 years before we see this.
We won't be.
No one within your earshot will be on the planet. So unless you plan
for
on
generations.
Being in heaven and somehow like the witnesses who are watching us run this race, Hebrews 12:1, if you're a part of that, maybe you can see it. But I think it's more important if people get that stirred up about an eclipse. My point in Hebrews 12 about when the heavens and earth will shake at Jesus' final coming, mm-hmm. that seems like something that should be way more precedent and excited about.
Right.
I mean, so, what are we going to do then?
Yeah, that's when you need to be ready.
I mean, because an earthquake happens, we all get stirred up. What about when the heavens and the earth quake?
Which, by the way, to the point, there was an earthquake and an eclipse when Jesus was on the cross, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It turned dark for 3 hours,
yeah.
And then also there was an earthquake. So that was the Almighty giving a little bit of something there.
You know, that's the first. Somebody told me this the other day, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. They were like, who's the first Gentile that ever believed in Christ? It was that centurion.
Because
that all happened, he said, surely this is the Son of God.
That's right.
Why else would he say that? Like, that's he right. believed. He was like, oh.
Look at Jeff.
That
in your Bible.
That's right. Joining right in on Unashamed. We made that point recently. So, Jeff, so I don't know when's the last time we've had you on the podcast, but there were two things I wanted to ask you about, and we may have talked about it, so if we're repeating, it's okay. But one is, since you guys had just wrapped up filming on this on the series, I wanted to ask you about the filming with Jace and Murray on the Treasure Show, what that was like. Because I don't know that we've had you. We probably had you on at some point during the early filming, yeah. But what was that like, you know, doing that? Because
it was fun. I mean, it was hard at times, I would say. I mean, the problem is, I think if you need more time at these places, like to go for a day, maybe two, and find everything that's there, it's like impossible. So it's like you're trying to find as much as you can in the shortest amount of time. So I would say physically it was pretty hard. But like when you find something, it's like so much fun to celebrate, you know.
Because y'all were kind of condensing down what you would normally do over a pretty good period of time into just a very short window to film it, right? I mean, that's kind of the way.
What people didn't see is when we were hunting, it was pretty well 12 hours. And there were a few moments where you found something spectacular. But then when you watch the show, it all looks like we hunted in 10 minutes.
Right.
And we're finding stuff popping out of the ground.
Yeah.
But
hours and hours.
A lot of new batteries, a lot of following around. Find something. When are you going to find something good?
Yeah. The camera guys are like, come on, guys. We're like,
come on. I mean, what
we're giving her all she's got, Captain. You know.
So well, Jeff and I kind of bonded. When you spend that much time, you know, you either learn how to get along or, you know, the show blows up or whatever. Yeah,
Jace learned a lot about my stomach troubles.
Yeah, traveling with Jeff
during this show
is a whole new experience.
I swear.
Because Jeff's life revolves around, when are we going to the bathroom? Which I've never been around another human being.
I've seen commercials about people like that.
I know.
Jeff. I mean, they're like, so guys looking around, like, where are the restrooms? Yep. Like, everything is.
That's Jeff. I'm like that with water. You know, I like having water around all the time. Jeff's like, where's the nearest bathroom? It's
and when are we taking a bathroom break?
It's a problem. And mom has the same problems.
Yeah, that was inherited. That's what I was
know.
That's
I got that from the Caraway side, I guess.
Might have been handed down.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it did.
You were the last one there. You barely made it.
I'm still barely making it. It's a problem.
So is that from mom or you, Dad, the bowel mischief?
I say repeatedly, almost daily, that one's existence on the earth begins to shrink when you get in your about to hit your 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 1 year, well, year and a little bit, just this side of 80. Well, just, you know, do the math. Might get 90.
Might get 100.
Might get 100.
But in Jesus, you get forever. So, I mean, that starts to weigh bigger.
So, well, Dad, you were, let's see, you were in your early 30s. So, I mean, that would have been over 40, how old are you, Jeff? 44 years ago?
Were you 45
years ago, Jeff was the only one of your children that you actually watched come into this world.
Yeah.
He was the only one.
It's the most beautiful thing you ever saw. It had a
profound effect on me. I didn't go see y'all being born. I know. I said, that's a woman's deal, you know.
We got over it.
Good luck. But after I came to Jesus and looked back at it, I thought to myself, I should have watched all of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a brutal thing to come on the earth, come forth from your mother's womb. That's not by accident.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's pain involved. You know, we read the verse.
Yeah,
you know?
Read the verse, but they forget the pain because of the joy.
Well, that's what Jeff and I, in a serious note, you know, I learned that Jeff and I both have an appreciation, you know, of babies and kids. I mean, his whole,
you know,
ministry.
Jeff ended up kind of the from his mother, drawn closer to her after his birth than any of y'all.
Yeah, I think that's because y'all had mellowed a bit from when we were raised.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it was just basically, because people say, what was your childhood like? And I always say the same word. You know what it is? Survival.
I thought you were going to say volatile.
So I met a guy at the church where I spoke at yesterday, and he used to always say the same thing. I'd say, how you doing? And he'd say, I'm just trying to survive. And I was like, that sums up my childhood.
Oh, catfish. Yeah. So that brings up the second question I had for you, Jeff. Let's take a break. Dad, we're in late April, early May, and that brings about a very important season in our family's life that's been going on a long time, and you introduced it, mayhaw season, because mayhaw trees produce mayhaws that produce the finest jelly in the world. Have I overstated the case?
Nope, that's exactly what it is.
And so mayhaw trees grow out in the swamp, and they're very difficult to get to find this fruit. Maybe that's why it's so good. But we know that you can't always get to mayhaw trees for your jelly, so we need to bring the trees to you.
Or the slow jelly.
Slow jelly.
Which seems to be in contrast with a group of people saying that we're going to grow trees fast. Because you'd say, well, how do you do a slow trees.
And that's S-L-O-E, by the way, not exactly. W. So Fast Growing Trees, one of our sponsors, they had the biggest online nursery in the U.S., 10,000 different kinds of plants, including many fruit trees. They have over 2 million happy customers that are in the U.S. Like I said, fruit trees, palm trees. Zach's got some evergreens up there for his border wall. He's building between him and his neighbor. Whatever you need, they got it for your climate, your space. It's easy to order online. Your plants are going to be shipped directly to your door in 1 or 2 days. They have what they call a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, which means that they're going to show up in great shape. If for some reason they aren't, they're going to get them right to you. They offer free plant consultation forever. So we love these guys. Check out their trees. It's that time of year. This spring, they have the best deals online. Up to half off on select plants and other deals. Listeners to Unashamed are going to get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code UNASHAMED at checkout. So that's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code UNASHAMED at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code UNASHAMED. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. I don't think we've talked to you since the movie came out, which was really interesting because Jason and I have a lot of memories of Dad pre-Christian, I guess me the most, but you were totally raised in a Christian home. Mom and Dad had totally turned their life around. You weren't even born until they were like 3 years into their new birth and their lifestyle. So what was it like for you to watch the movie? I was curious because, like, we have, I mean, obviously we've all told our story and all that, but you kind of, I've always thought you kind of had a different perspective of mom and dad. So I wondered what it was like watching that, and then kind of how your thought process was.
I mean, it was harder maybe for me because I never, experienced any of the bad stuff really. So,
You got off track that one time when you were about teenage, 18 or so.
Yep.
So your family moved in to have a little meeting, and your question was, when you saw us coming, you were not ready for it. We were all there to straighten your trip out.
Intervention.
And your question was, what took y'all so long?
Yeah.
Which is one of the great questions of all time.
But yeah, I mean... But it's so, I mean, it's such a awesome story. And it's funny because when y'all hear from Emmanuel, his dad is a lot like you. Very similar story.
Really?
So, which is cool. And I think that's kind of how we bonded. Yeah. Maybe
that's what I was going to say a while ago. I learned about Jep from spending the last 2 years of almost every moment of the day with him. That, you know, he has a heart for kids and kids that are suffering, and has been all over the world in what you do with, what's the name of it?
All God's Children.
All God's Children. It was on the tip of my tongue. Which, just think of that name.
Yeah.
Are we not all God's children?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's just a lot of bad things going on our earth where the most vulnerable of us are in terrible situations. And so even, you know, the last 2 years of my life, I've had this little kid that came my way through a difficult situation, which is vastly improving every day. But even this past weekend, I was doing all this prep for the sermon, but we had this kid, you know, staying with us. Well, having a kid's a full-time job, especially when they're 2 years old. And so I took him fishing for the first time where I thought he could understand what has actually happened. I mean, we had him as a baby a couple times while I was catching fish, but it wasn't noticeable. So I was like, I think it's time. You want to go fishing? So I took him down there. Well, the first thing he does when we walk up to the pond is I stop, and I'm getting the bait off the end of the rod. And I look up at him as he's just continuing to walk. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he started walking in the pond, which just shows you how vulnerable they are.
Yeah.
We don't have the concept of you walk on land, you don't walk on water unless you're Jesus. And so, and of course, with a kid, everything needs to happen quick. So I flipped I had a little jig on and in Willie's pond. So this is a secret. Don't tell him I did this. And as soon as that jig hit, I had a cork on it. So cork went down, which I start reeling. I'm like, help me reel. And so the fight is on. It took a couple minutes. We get the fish there out. And what I would describe is what I was doing my lesson on in Hebrews 12. It says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God with reverence and awe. In that moment, I saw in his mind reverence because he just tried to go at the fish, but he's got all his fins out, you know. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, he'll hurt you. But it was all, his mouth was open. And it was like, what is this real creature that you have gotten out of the water? And when you're a kid, everything looks bigger and it's exciting. And I actually took a picture in that moment and his mouth is wide open. But it just made me think of all the things we have in Jesus, from us being sons and daughters of God, you know, just being in awe in a respectful way, because there are dangers to this. And I don't know, I melted in that moment. But I really appreciate Jep having a heart for that. And he's brought a guest today I'm sure that you met along the way in trying to help kids.
Yep.
Well, and then I would say that, Jep, I feel like, because of the home you grew up in, I've always thought you carried the best of mom and dad, you know, of all of us, you know, because, you know, we had a little bit of baggage we had to deal with from those early years, but you didn't have that. Doesn't mean you're, like we said, you were a prodigal like me. You had some struggles. But I see that now in your parenting, your kids. Now you're gaining son-in-law. So you're becoming the patriarch of your family. And so that's the blessing when you get to watch that. Because, you know, there's 14 years difference between me and you. So you were almost like mine and Lisa's little boy. You know, you come to our house. Mm-hmm. We go do stuff together because you were only like 4 years old when I got married. Mm-hmm. So I get sort of that pride like mom and dad of watching you grow into that man. And so to get to do what you're doing with all God's children is a huge blessing because I think it taps into the best of your abilities and what you got from your raising and from the Lord. Yeah. And I see that as a husband and a dad too. So, and by the way, I throw Jason on the bus all the time. I'm proud of him too, because his sermon yesterday was fantastic. I didn't say that in the last podcast, Jason, but it was really, really good. So,
but he's more proud of me. Yeah. You're second. He's proud.
I've learned to live.
Sorry.
These kind of discussions.
And thank you for doing that, because I didn't want to get too soapy and too sappy with the whole thing. All right, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back from this break, we got a special guest all the way from Africa. We're super excited about it, so we're going to add him to the Unashamed podcast. We'll let Jeff introduce him. We'll come back from this break. Zach, I don't know if you knew this or not, but like it was back during the pandemic, we're beginning to face drug and medical supply shortages in the U.S. As of March, there were more than 200 drug shortages here, and it's looking like it's going to get worse before it gets better. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So healthcare experts have pointed to shortages, domestic production, Drug Supply Chain Security Act. All these are trends to watch as this happens. And when you need medicines, you need it now. That's why our friends at Jace Medical, who are no connection to our own beloved Jace.
They're not, but I love the name.
Yeah, I figured you would. I met a Jace actually at church yesterday, Jace. I said, are you named after our Jace? He said, I don't think so.
I took a picture with him.
I know it. But you do need the Jace case. That's what they provide. It's 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do is fill out a simple form online, and then you'll have it. It's ready when you need it. There are dozens of add-on options as well, like EpiPens, ivermectin. So a lot of medicines you really need, and when you need them, you don't have this shortage that you can't get your hands on. Jace Medical is empowering people just like you to be able to take your family's health into your own hands. So check them out today. Go to jacemedical.com. Enter the code UNASHAMED at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code UNASHAMED at jacemedical.com. That's jacemedical.com. Use the code UNASHAMED. Check them out. Welcome back. We got a very special guest, and I have to say, out of the 5 of us now that are on this podcast, our guest is the only one whose country is mentioned in the Bible, because ours is not, Emmanuel. So, Jeff, introduce your guest.
Is Emmanuel, and it's spelled a little different, so it's spelled how you would spell it in Amharic, right?
Yes.
Which is his native tongue.
Amharic?
Amharic.
Never heard Amharic. Yeah.
It's cool to listen to.
Really?
Yep.
And Emmanuel speaks how many languages?
3, right?
Yeah, I speak 3.
But so he's 3 times smarter than everybody else.
He was telling me, he was like, there's places you go in Ethiopia, like from one village to the next, totally different dialect.
Yeah.
And there's like 50 different ones.
So what part of Africa are we talking about here?
We're talking about East Africa.
East Africa. Okay, Ethiopia's in East Africa. I got to ask something, because someone once told me the world's largest bullfrogs were in Africa. Have you seen any giant bullfrogs?
I have seen a lot of frogs, but I'm not sure if I have seen that.
Oh, really? Hey, there is ducks there. I saw them. Yeah. When I went, I saw ducks.
So yep. You've been to Ethiopia?
Well, yep.
Is that where you met Emmanuel?
No, so we actually met later, because he's working with the organization now, and we met at a hunt, actually, of all weird things that we do with some other like kind of big donors. And he came and told his story, and immediately I said, you got to come to West Monroe, Louisiana, and tell that story to my family, because it was incredible.
Awesome. And so that's
so can we get a little bit of the language? What is We Have Ducks in, what is it?
Amharic.
Amharic.
Duck ye Allen.
Ducky Island. I love it. Makes sense.
Something like
that. I could learn this language.
So duck is duckie.
Duckie.
Yeah. So island means we have. So
well, yeah.
Oh, okay. It could but be. It sounded like to me Duck Island, which is
Ducky Island.
So I'm seeing Jace speaking this language by just making stuff up or an attempt to do that. So
well, I just wanted a buddy of mine wanted to go to Africa and see and catch some of these bullfrogs because they're one of the greatest tasting things on the planet. And so I just thought they may have these frogs here and they just don't know it. And so,
yeah, because they might, do they eat frogs in Ethiopia?
No, no. Dogs. Yeah, see, no, we don't eat frogs in
Ethiopia. No frogs in Ethiopia.
Yeah, some people see that as not the thing to do, but it's a shame because they're really delicious.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
They're the cleanest animal, I think, on the planet.
Wow, so, never had one.
Yeah, so yeah.
Do you know what he does eat? Which I was like, I didn't eat this when I was there. He eats raw beef. So they go to these places where they slaughter these cows and you eat them within 12 hours, right? Something like that?
Yeah, usually fresh.
Like really fresh. And he showed me pictures. It's like a chuck roast. I was like, dang. He just
I like my meat roast
raw. Yeah. I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah, raw meat is a big culture in Ethiopia. Yeah. Yeah, it's just you can see whole butcher places in the city.
I'd recommend you maybe saute or fry the frog.
Yeah, you may want to put those in a little bit of hot grease. He had a shrimp po' boy today for lunch.
Yep, I took him, had his first shrimp
po'
boy.
You like the shrimp po' boy?
Yeah.
It's a Louisiana staple.
Yeah. Had you eaten shrimp before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, since coming to the U.S.
So he's lived in Portland now for 4 years. So he's...
Well, you bring him from Africa and you feed him some shrimp. Well, why not frog legs or crawfish, you know?
Well, he wanted a shrimp po' boy. There was a menu there. He could have picked anything. That's what he wanted.
And there's a lot on that menu, so that's really good. All right. So tell us a little bit about your story. A little bit about the Emmanuel. I mean, already I'm impressed. Emmanuel, God is with us today because that's what we know. That's what your name means, or at least the biblical version of it. So we're glad you're here. Tell us your story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like Jeb has introduced me. My name is Emmanuel Roba. I am from Ethiopia, and currently I work with All God's Children. I'm an associate director of sponsorship, so I help oversee the children that we're sponsoring. We have over 930 kids that we sponsor in Ethiopia, which I am originally from. So yeah, I mean, just to give you a bit of a context is according to UNICEF, we have over 4.5 million children that are orphans. And Ethiopia is a big country. It's the second most populous country after Nigeria. So we have about 120 million people.
Wow.
And yeah, it is like a large country and a large population. And out of that, 4.5 million are orphans and about 600,000 live in the streets. And I'm sure Jeb has.
When I went there, that's what I was shocked more than anything. Addis Ababa is like the capital. You just get off the plane, go to the capital city. There's tens of thousands, like toddlers coming up, grabbing your leg. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Just think if you went to Dallas and there was 50,000 orphan kids walking around. I mean, you'd be like, we got to do something.
Yeah, there's
you
a
know
problem,
what I'm saying? Like, there's there's a need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very evident, especially in the capital. You see just everywhere in every part of the corner of the city that you get to observe that. And we help work on that. And I grew up in a small town in the southeast part of Ethiopia. And my family kind of went through a lot of hard time. And one of the things was we were one of the few Christians that was in my hometown. And there has been a lot of persecution that has happened just growing up for being Christian, especially yes, there are certain other type of Christianity, but I was like, our belief was we were like, you know, Christ, we're saved through Christ and that's it. And that's the way. And just for saying that, you could be, facing a lot of things. And
is it because, is it Muslim or is there, what's the cause of the persecution? Do people are unbelievers or do they believe in something else? The people that aren't Christian.
I mean, most Ethiopians are believers. So, okay. You know, the stat 98 are like in believers in 30 things. So there is not atheism that like atheist or like anything like that. But I mean, if you consider Ethiopia as one of the first Christian nation from the 4th century on, but there has been a lot of the Orthodox Christianity or part of the Coptic Christianity that has been, you know, in the country for a long while. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's like the pure gospel of like Christ, but it's just a lot of tradition that's added in there, and it's just like a lot of practices that are, I would say, is just not according to the Bible, and not like, it's just like how the gospel is, and because of because of that, there is that. And I mean, still the majority of the population is just like Orthodox, but I mean, we have 1/3 of the population that are Muslim as well, so yes, we have a whole mixture of that. And in a town that I grew up with, I would say it was mostly a Muslim-dominated area, like back in the day as well. So it was just like what my dad was, is that he grew up. So how he heard about the Christ was, it was from the missionaries, and American missionaries back in the day in a very rural area from like, it's just, you can't drive anymore. But like for hours, you have to take horses and donkeys or like some other kind of transportation, walk for miles. But you know, there was this missionaries that were helping the people, and it's just like medicating some people that were sick in like an open market, things that were singing and, you know, sharing some scriptures. So he had that seed planted like in him growing up. And that was like back in the 1960s or like late 60s, early 70s. And with that is then he came to the hometown that I was born in. And at 16, we had a regime change. So Ethiopia is like, was like an imperial, like a king system throughout our history, like until the 1960s. And until that time. So it was like, when that happens, there was just, we had this communist that, you know, like going on, government going on. And it was just like, hey, no believing. No Christian, like any kind of God, just don't mention that kind of. So he was, he had to join the military at the age of 16 from school, just like be part of, like become a soldier in there. And after that, he fought for a while, and he came back to my hometown. Like they were like after what, 7 or something years of fighting, then he was able to, you know, survive that battle and come back home. And you know, he was just known like to be like drunk, beating up people. He would just make other people pay. Just known for like, for all the wrong reasons in the hometown.
So he kind of became like an enforcer.
Yeah.
Because of his training and all that stuff.
Yeah. And all, And that, and I think they were also, in the year, I was born in 1991, and right before I was born, he was like also like asked to be deployed again in another war that was happening. And at that time, he encountered like some other like believers in there. And I mean, there is a plant that was, you know, put in, a seed that was planted in his life at the young age, but this time he was able to read the New Testament. Somebody gave him that, and other like friends, they were just at least discussing the gospel, and just, he started to be curious in like to know more about Christ and just that journey and that. And he, unfortunately, he got hit. So he went to like a refugee camp. And there's also like, while he was fighting at the end of it, you know, there is another regime change. And
he got shot like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, he got, and he still
survived that.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of his faith journey, was kind of like he lived through getting shot.
When he probably
should
have died.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He absolutely should have died. And that was just God's protection. And I mean, even after being treated, he was told, I was like, hey, in a few years, like, there are some of the bullets that if we take it out, you would die now. Or I was like, if it stays, like, at least you have a couple years or a few more years to live. But through that time, it's just, you know, he had that phase, and that phase kept him going. And at some point, so when he was released and, you know, like, felt better from that, he just build a passion. I was like, I have to go back and just reach people, like, and reach people in the gospel and just bring people to the kingdom of God. And when he came back to my hometown at that time, there was only about 15 Christians, and it was an underground church, and it was just somebody's house where they sing very quietly. Wow. So that, because if other people like hear you, then, you know, just, you could be beaten up.
Very much first century-esque, right? Yep. Let's take another break. So you know we've got a merchandise store, and merchandise is one of the best ways to get the word out to other folks about what you're into, like this Unashamed mug that I'm holding here in my hand. I Ride with King Jesus. T-shirts. Some of their items include the Blind Mug, our Love Always Protects T-shirts, I Ride with King Jesus mugs, T-shirts, and much more. You go to unashamedmerch.com, use the special promo code unashamed10, and you're going to get 10% off the total of your order. They also have Blaze Heritage collection, Patriotic collection. So a lot of hats, stickers, mugs, sweaters, whatever you're into, they've got it. It lets people know who's helping us get the gospel out there. Head over to unashamedmerch.com today. Use the code unashamed10 for 10% off your order, and that's a heck of a deal. unashamedmerch.com, and be sure to use the promo code unashamed10 so you get 10% off your order. Check them out.
So coming back, he saw that, but he started fellowshipping with these people. But at the same time, he knows if they come public, then that's just a danger to his life, to the family's life. And it's why, actually, I was named Emmanuel was when he came back, I was born. And he said, like, God is with us, and God is with this family. So that's how I got named, like, Emmanuel. And
wow.
And he decided, I was like, okay, this is time for us to, you know, like, to go and, like, you know, just tell this truth. And we can't just be hiding in the house and just, like, sing and just save our life. But, you know, there are a lot of thousand people that are around the town and the village that, you know, need to hear about the gospel of Christ. So he decided he went out and started speaking in public and was, like, in the middle of just the crowd in the market, and just people would be throwing eggs in this face and tomatoes and other things. It was just different vegetables that were, they were being selling. But he was just a still, like, witness. And he didn't have any other, like, teachers or any pastor to guide them through, but it was him and the Holy Spirit just revealing his word. And just that something that was steering in his heart to, just to be able to just witness Christ for these people. And he continued to do that. And, you know, now the people are aware he is like that. But they were still actually, even though they're trying to attack the other Christians, they were scared of him because of his previous behavior. And, like, I said, and
he was still not a soldier. Man to be trifled with.
Yeah.
I got you.
I think it's like, yeah, there are times like, hey, like, yeah, they might be afraid of that. But still, we, like, growing up, I remember it was like our roofs would be just like throw, like stones, like little rocks would be thrown in our roof. And it was a tin roof, and it was loud. Through that, he continued, but there was just some people that were coming to Christ. And it was like here and there, he would find people that were just coming into that coast. But, and at some point, as a couple of years later, like a younger child that was born after me, a few months later, the child passed away. And so there. So when you're a Christian at that time, is that you're isolated from anything. Within, even if you have relatives, it was like you are excluded from weddings and other social affairs. And it's just, there isn't a lot of things that you could, you know, be part of. And the other thing is, one thing that would scare is like, oh, you will never have a burial ground if you are like a Christian. So it's like, if you die, there's not going to be, you know. And they didn't have a property, or they didn't have any land. So because of this, I think the municipality gave them like this piece of land in the town. So they just buried it in that at the Christians. And he just went ahead and just went, like, witnessing the gospel for others and sharing that. And a few days later, some of this mob came, dug out the body of the child and just put a display. This is just like in order to, you know, give a warning for others. If you become a Christian and if you are, you know, coming to faith, that this is going to happen to you. And this is a warning. So it was a tough time, both for my family, especially for my mom and that. And but that did not stop the gospel. And that just gave him a courage that, you know, we're, this is what the Bible says. And, you know, sometimes you're going to, you know, like pay certain things. And he's like, if this is for the gospel and if this brings, like, continues to bring people to the kingdom, it's like, we're going to continue. And I think, but with that, some other people seeing that, you know, that was just an encouragement for others to, you know, to be able to join the phase. And now the number started to go on, okay, from 15 to 50, like then to 100, like in a, like a few years time. And that within that land that they took for a funeral, then they started putting like a mud house for people to come and worship. And there was just a lot of people that were just coming into the kingdom. And there's a lot of witchcraft and other things that was, you know, like being practiced in there, but God is just working. And there was just people being freed from that kind of like bondage, and just some people like receiving healing through that, and just the Holy Spirit working in all different ways. And that happened. And when that grows happen and they continue to see that, one time they said, hey, like, these people are poisoning our community, poisoning our phase. Like, we have to, you know, like, finish them off. And one time, and at that time, we were a young age, and just a group of mob came into in front of our house and just saying that, like, just naming different, like, Christians different names and other things.
They were armed. They had, machetes. Jays, and they were ready to kill his family.
Yeah. Sticks, just, it was like, this is the day that we're gonna, you know, like, kill everybody and every Christian. And they were just saying a lot of things, and that, like, my family has, you know, parents has locked the home. And I think at that time we were about 3 or 4 kids, and I'm one of the 7 siblings. The other were born after that. And my dad said, you know, this might be the last thing, you know, this would be our last.
He was preparing
day.
You.
Yeah, just preparing. And we are like really, really young at that time. And he said, it was like, you might see them, like, you know, just, you know, slaughtering me or anything. But in those like few minutes, we're going to see Jesus.
Wow.
And if you see that, if you say deny Christ, I was like, do not do that. I was like, they might just kill you or do this to you. But I was like, you'll meet Jesus. Great time.
So he was
like,
preparing you to be a martyr.
Yeah.
As a child.
We were just like age of 4, 6. Yeah. And yeah. Like now. So during that time, and just all together having a prayer, and the mob decided that I was like, actually, where our house was located was right in the middle of the town. So he said, like, actually, let's start from like the east end and just, you know, finish them off and just killing everybody, like every other Christian. So they went ahead. They said, like, we're coming back. So they just went. And it's just, you know, God working through that and just protecting us. And they went to this house. And this house they went to, just they just became Christian. Like, it's a, they were a very, like, fresh Christian. They just, and as soon as they went into their home, this family had a gun. So they started shooting. So when they started like shooting
towards
wrong house.
And yeah, we didn't have anything. And my dad have already returned all those things like back. And when they started doing that, I think it's just the police and the municipality that have heard of that. So they just came and intervened. And that day just passed. And it's just like some peace came after that. And it's just that it was like God's protection in that. But that did not just prevent from the gospel, like, you know, for continue to conquer the town and the people and just win hearts. And yeah, and I think a few years later, my dad was like, my dad did not have any other job. So I was like, there are times that the only thing that he has is the clothes he was wearing and the Bible that he's been given. And with that is sometimes he would, you know, like wash his pants, like trousers. Then he would just at the river, because there's no laundry or anything. Mm-hmm. Then he would just read his Bible until his pants dry. then he'd just put on and just walk to some village so that he can share the gospel. And it's just, it was tough. And we had a hard time, like, growing up, and just for family, there were days that we never had, like, meals, like, for 3 or 4 days. And just going to school was very difficult, especially. And it's like, because you're in a school where your stomach is just, like, making noise because of you haven't eaten days. And you can hear, like, not just us, also, it's like, it was a problem with other communities, like, other families as well, as that you can hear who's been, like, whose, like, stomach is, you know, like, loud at that time. And when you can't eat, then you can't focus. When you can't focus, it's hard to succeed. And even just being able to kind of provide that school supplies and stuff, it was not easy for my family, like, to do that. And it was just God's provision and protection that have, you know, like, helped us to go, like, through all that processes. Even now, within that, like, my dad had a compassion, and he would just, like, even drive. And, I mean, there are days, my mom's, like, sometimes, like, in a flour that is just not even for people to eat. Sometimes my mom would make us, like, a little bread, and she would just not see us eat it. But I was like, at least they're eating something.
Yeah, putting something in your stomach.
Yeah.
But you know, why I think it's fascinating, Emmanuel, for guys like you to share your story with an American audience especially, is because we read about these things in the book of Acts, and we read about persecution, we read about difficulty, read about putting your faith out there no matter what. But to be honest, it's hard for us to relate sometimes because we don't have the same things you faced. And so here you're a young man, and to be able to share a story that's shaped your life is really shows you the power of who God is in his word. And so I like it because it's so relatable to everything that we study. And it's hard for sometimes for Western culture audiences to really relate to that and what we read in the Bible. Then we hear your story, and this, you're one of many folks I've, you know, heard stories like this from Africa, and realize there are people living this way every single day, you know, that goes on today, right? And all the orphans you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think some of this overcoming and what you went through and all this has made you feel so compelled to help orphans and to, I mean, is it a pay it forward sort of life that you live now, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, yes, just like maybe it is that, that's the way, like, how I even ended up into this is that, like, I have went through all of those processes, and some of the skits that you see in the streets that are going through is like, I have really went to that. And I mean, it is God. And it's just like people that, you know, like, believed in me that, you know, kind of, you know, just shifted the way that I was going. And I mean, also it's like with the generosity that I've seen from my dad, and also it's like the gospel itself is the one that changed my village, the entire place, mm-hmm. as well as, and because, I mean, just like, yeah, before it, I mean, there's been a lot of attacks that has came to me, like, personally, to my family, and to the Christians.
There's a whole other story, yeah. And you don't have to tell the whole thing because, you know, we're running out of time, but they tried to poison Emmanuel. His dad took in a homeless guy, and the guy gave him poison to Emmanuel when he was a little kid, and they thought he was going to die, and it was acid.
It was acid. Yeah.
And even that, they said, he's not going to make it. They told his dad, it was like, and he was asleep the whole time. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. They were constant under barrage, but his dad was like, I'm standing on the gospel.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing it no matter what, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, the gospel had, like, prevailed in that town. We have over 15,000 Christians at the moment. And wow. My dad in that town, including the surrounding area, was able to plant over 100.
Is it better now?
Oh, absolutely. It's better now because now we have Christians that are making a difference and changes. And, like, yeah, there are a lot of churches, over 140 churches that is around. Now we have Christians that are in government places, that are in places. And not just from that, and it was people like him himself, and also like other Christians that have really fought and went through all those. And now we have over 30 million believers and Christians in the country. And that is a huge number compared
to that.
20 years ago, that was less than 5 million. So there's that gospel is just prevailing. And so, and you see that not just changing like people's, yes, their eternal life, that is the biggest thing that this people and, you know, our population could get at the same time was like, people's life is changing. The way government operates is changing. The economy is changing. Because I was like, and it's like, yes, there is. Because with your believing is there's some things that comes. And, you know, God blesses the nation, the people, and that are in the government. And that is, and I'm also the example of that, just going through that and all that is like, now just got me, gave me a reason. I was like, yes, I have went through that and I want to be able to continue serving this kids and this people. And we're not just fulfilling material, but at the same time, we're working on that spiritual part and just winning souls for Christ, you know, for Christ as well.
Well, somebody told me a long time ago that you'll know that we've reached critical mass as our, in our culture when God begins to send us missionaries from other parts of the world. And you mentioned about you being in Portland now, which as an American, when I hear Portland, I immediately think one of the most godless places in our culture. And here you are with a story like this and with the capacity for the gospel. And who's to say that's not exactly what God has done is brought you here, not only just to help people back home in your country and orphans, but also to help our country. We need all the voices we can get. Because, you know, you travel around America, you're here in Louisiana now, you travel other places, you think, well, there's Christians everywhere, there's churches on every corner, and that's true. But there are places in America that are very godless, in especially in big cities, and people that don't know what you and I both know about Jesus. And so who's to say that's not exactly one of the reasons he's brought you?
What's cool is there is a church in Portland where he met his wife, who's weirdly enough, also Ethiopian, but she was adopted by a family in Portland. And he met her through his dad, which is kind of cool. His dad spoke at the church. But it's an Ethiopian church because there's a big population of Ethiopians in Portland and Dallas, I think he was telling me, and some other places. But it's really cool. He was showing me like a how, I mean, it's very authentic to how it is in Ethiopia, but they're doing it in Portland, which I thought was kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, my church, yeah, does a lot of outreach as far as the gospel in the town and the city as well. And we reach people. And I mean, whoever we're coming across and all the people that we're meeting, and I come across through, you know, personal life, work, and all that, and I just get to continue to witness.
You are deserve homage. You're doing well.
Well, and I see what you were saying, Jeff, shared similar experience where you see a bold father who comes out of a life into the life of Christ and how that changes not only his destiny, but his family's destiny, and then ultimately can change a whole culture and a whole country, which is sort of what God's doing in your life.
Absolutely.
Which is fantastic.
Absolutely. And it's what a privilege to be part of, you know, now being able to go back and, you know, be able to reach these kids. And I mean, we still have some, you know, different issues that is going on in the country. We just came out of like a big conflict. And I just came back from Ethiopia about 10 days ago where we head back to the north. Jeb has been there in Tigray. And we just had a conflict. And it was sad to see some of where the conditions of like that war has left and, you know, schools are still not being able to operate and a lot of people in the shelters and the kids. So yes, there is a change, but at the same time, there is that huge need that we are in and we continue to advocate for these children. And I think one of the great things that AGCI is currently doing is just helping those children, like, you know, just supporting and sponsorship as well. Sponsorship helps is we do family preservation. So like we have a lot of kids that we have saved that are in the streets. So our hope is for the that family preservation, keeping families together before even those children end up in those streets where they're faced with a lot of like abuse and addictions and all that. And that's our work. And currently we have, you know, about.
So our charge for the audience is y'all have been so awesome to us. And last time I asked for 100, this time we're asking for 150 sponsorships. You can go to allgodschildren.org. And we need your help now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, we've said this before. There's nothing more like Christ than to look out for those who can't look out for themselves. I mean, the Bible says that over and over. Jesus said it himself, you know, except for these little ones that come to me. So you guys are doing God's work. Emmanuel, it's great to have you on our podcast. Thank you for your story. It's amazing. God obviously shepherded you through to do great things. So we wish God's blessing on you. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here. God bless you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.